Hello and welcome to the Mejlis Podcast, Radio for Europe, Radio Liberty's current affairs talk show focusing on Central Asia. I'm Bruce Pinier, host of the Mejlis and author of the Central Asia in Focus newsletter. There is an unprecedented crackdown on independent media outlets underway in Kyrgyzstan. At least five media outlets have been raided since January 15th, and 11 journalists are in custody. Worse might be coming soon as a controversial draft law on media was reintroduced to Parliament. If adopted, that bill would make the situation for media outlets extremely complicated and increase the chances that many outlets will be closed. To discuss all this, I am joined by Tatubuvu Ergashbayeva, director of the Tandem Lawyers Community. And I'll mention at the start that Tatubuvu is currently developing an institute for think tanks and advocacy in Kyrgyzstan. And Sianat Sultanaliyeva, Central Asia researcher for Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan at Human Rights Watch. Thank you both for joining me. You know, and we're going to start with Sianat. If you could, I know this is asking a lot, but if you can kind of give me a brief summary of what's happened since Monday with the media outlets.
Yes, happy to. Thanks, Bruce, for having me here. And things in Kyrgyzstan are not great. As usual, it's a very, very dynamic, politically dynamic country. And things have been just absolutely crazy, I guess you could say, starting from Monday. And on Monday, what we had is 24KG. The newsroom of 24KG got raided by the Gakenbe. Their equipment was confiscated. Three of the editorial leadership, director, and two of the chief editors were invited to an interrogation, basically, at the Gakenbe, where they, upon, you know, being released from there, they informed everybody that they had to sign an NDA, so non-disclosure agreement. So nobody really knows what exactly is happening, which of the publications on 24KG are being investigated. It is known that the outlet is being charged with war propaganda. It's possible to surmise that it might be related to the war in Ukraine, but it's unclear. So that's what was happening on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the 16th, we all woke up to news that about 11 journalists, I think in the beginning it was just eight, and then throughout the day, three more were joined. Journalists who are related, who have either worked before or are working currently with Timirov Live, or who are, you know, nowadays, for example, if they're ex-staffers of Timirov Live who are working on different media outlets, they have been raided as well early in the early morning hours of Tuesday, as if there's some kind of criminals who are just going to run away or whatever, you know, like at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., just absolutely inhumane. And then they were just rounded up, taken away. Their computers, laptops, their mobile phones were confiscated as well. Not only theirs, but also their family members. And then, so they were interrogated. And then by the end of the day, it was clear, information got out that they were detained. I think initially there was information they would be detained for 48 hours. But then turns out they were detained for 2 months. So at this point, all 11 have been detained, have been placed into pretrial detention for 2 months. And the charges that they are facing are, the exact formulation might be wrong, but something to do with calls for public disorder or mass unrest, I think. And according to, and the difference with this case is that it's not by Gakenbe, it's by the Ministry of Interior, so the law enforcement, who identified that something like on December 30th, like end of December, they found articles or posts on all of these media that they categorized as calls for public unrest. So that's what's happening right now.
Okay, thank you. Tatu, you're a lawyer. What about these charges against these media outlets? Calls for mass unrest? I mean, what do you make out of that? What's your opinion?
Yeah, thank you. The Kyrgyz Republic is on the path of authoritarianism. We have a super presidential operating in our country. And this is, I think, big problem because our civic engagement sector is the very difficult situation in this time. And I want to give a legal commentary about two draft laws about mass media, about NGO. For example, legal commentary to the draft law of the Kyrgyz Republic on mass media. The main problem with the draft law on mass media introduced to the Jogorku Kengesh by the presidential administration of the Kyrgyz Republic is that it expands the definition of mass media to such an extent that even websites may fall under its purview. This raises concerns in the media community as the opinion of journalists were not taken into the account in the preparation of the document. In addition, certainly is the draft law as to which websites and exactly what information must be posted on the in order to be classified as media create a risk to freedom of speech and independent media. Highlights include mandatory registration of websites as media. The law proposed to register all websites, including those that are not traditionally considered media. These codes include commercial and individual websites, imposing one row's registration requirements and potentially limiting their activities. Second, state control over media activities. The law gives state bodies extensive powers to refuse to register media outlets, effectively controlling which publication can operate. This can lead to selective application of the law against independent or critical media outlets. Third, restrictions on journalist practice. Provisions in the law may hamper the ability of journalists to conduct investigations by imposing restrictions on recording and accessing information without prior consent. Fourth, potential to arbitrary application, the law contains terms and broad powers for the authorities, raising concerns about arbitrary applications and possible use to suppress dissenting voice and control media space. How totally the law appears to be a step towards increasing state control over the media. Significantly independent journalists and public access to diverse source of information. And I want to give what is the charts. All our guys, they listened about one of the charts of war propaganda and calling for mass unrest. This is on the rate was on 24.kg and the homes of journalists. Executions of war propaganda and calls for mass media unrest are serious and should be considered in the context of compliance with legality and human rights. It's important to consider that such accusations should be used to limit freedom on the press or suppress critical voice. In each case, a thorough and fair investigation is necessary to ensure that the charges are not based on political motives and don't violate the rights to freedom of expression. Last point, all 11 journalists and activists brought to the investigative service of the Kyrgyz Republic on January 16 were taken to a temporary detention center, and they on the charges of organization of mass riots. And I think this is a very negative tendency in our country. And this is way similarly situations in the in Turkmenistan.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Sinat, let me get to you. Let's talk about the detentions for a second. 2 months. This seems to be a habit, you know, lately with the Kyrgyz government, the Kempirovad people, right? And we can go on and on listing individuals, but they rarely stay for only 2 months. What do you make of that?
That's an interesting question. What do we make of that? Honestly, it just looks like the authorities, the regime, can we call them regime already? Because they certainly act like a regime at this point. It looks like this is a strategy or tactic to just sort of keep people, anybody who has a critical opinion, anybody who is unafraid to express this critical opinion, to just keep them behind bars for as long as possible. Because that's exactly what's happening with Kemperabad. That's what's happening with the others that have been detained. And it just seems like they don't really care whether it's a 19-year-old blogger or it's a 60-plus-year-old, a retired person who just goes out on these, single pickets, right, where he's alone. And he's not really inciting anybody else. He's just expressing his opinion. It doesn't really matter for the regime, it looks like. Whether it's a mass, it's a group of people, if it's a single person, it doesn't matter to them nowadays if it's just a person who posts a video call saying, on the 31st of August, let's all, go live on Facebook to express our dissatisfaction with where the country is going. And I'm referring to the case of a writer, Olcay Shakir, who is still, being kept behind bars for, I think it's the fifth month now. So he was detained in August. He's a writer and a journalist and a publicist as well. So it's journalists who are being basically punished for their professional activities. It's bloggers. It's just active citizens who have their opinion and who want to share it. It doesn't really matter for the authorities, for the regime. They're just grabbing everyone and putting them behind bars, shutting them down so they don't have any space to make their thoughts or opinions heard. I mean, that's what it looks like. Otherwise, the law is just not being followed, to be honest here.
Okay, thank you. Tatu, let me ask you about that. Is there not the right to a speedy trial in Kyrgyz law? Can they keep extending the detention periods of these people again and again without bringing them to the courtroom?
Yeah, this very difficult situation, and we're living in the super presidential political system. And our constitutional buildings, the first time, they created some deconstruction. For example, the civic space is shrinking. The government is training the police regime. But I'm an optimist, and it's important to leave draw the stages. And how? For example, one of the ways we are with media platform Kyrgyzstan. In media platform, we have more 60 organizations who represent NGO organizations, expert communities, and mass media. And yesterday we organized a press conference, and there we appealed to the name of the president of Kyrgyzstan. We expect concern about the recent events related to the charges against journalists and the raids. I called for the protection of press freedom and human rights, and initiated an open dialogue with the media community to address current issues. We emphasized the importance of reviewing legislative initiatives that may limit the activities of the media and NGOs, following international norm and standards of freedom of speech. And I'm to support building a democratic, open, and fair society in Kyrgyzstan. I think, one of the good way now, we try to develop someone community instruments because more guys who working in the president administration, they don't listen anything. They have someone head of speech, and this is their items. But we try to use diplomatic methods, and we try to be loyalty and grow not only government platforms, we grow collaboration platforms. And now really I'm working with this because we try to write official letter to name of the president, to name of Johor Kukingesh, but they didn't listen us. They all the time press our journalists, our activists opposition political representatives, and really now we have more repressions. And this is collaboration, not only collaboration, this is try to develop someone platforms where we grow our relationships face to face. That will be very good because we try to keep all our advantages, all our good resources, because Kyrgyz Republic, one of the good democratic countries, but we lose our democratic status, we lose all the our methods, how protect human rights. And for me, how for lawyers, this very critical situation, but I and my colleagues, we try to work, we try to integrate our with decision makers, and really I'm working before end of this regime. I think I will continue my job all the time by time. Really, we are afraid. I'm afraid every day, but I continue my job because I now this is period for the lawyers. We must work. If we finish our job or stopped, that will be very, very loose, very bad situation, not only for lawyers and for our society too.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one more thing, Tatu. I know that you put an appeal to President Japarov on your Facebook site. Did you receive any answer?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm the last week I met with, I think, more guys from President Administration, from the Johor Kukinesh, and we discussed because I'm working with decision makers more 4 years, I think, and I have good relationships with them, and they told me, really, your recommendations is very well, and we try to support all your offers. But, you know, I think President Administration, especially 2-3 guys, they don't give for us at a short time to meet with the president and discuss. But I and my colleague from the media platform, we working, and I think 1 or 3 weeks, and we will meet with president, and that will be step by step. We will grow our diplomatic and very constructive relationships with president administration and with Johor Kukinesh. And to know why we try to grow with president administration, because today parliament and judge system, they very, very poor. And they very, I think, weakness positions. Only every big positions, this is with president administration. And this is reason why we work with them. Strong position in the president and his administration. And if, for example, if we will go to the 4 years ago, really, I was one of the experts who all the time critic, this is the constitutional buildings, this is constitutional constructions, because they're very awful constructions. This is super presidential constructions. This is not for society, not for people, not for human rights. This is only for power. This is guys who want to concentrate all government and no government resources between each other in the one platform. And we are looking all this situation, but we don't do not more. But we try to use all methods where we try to grow dialogues between mass media, between civic engagement sector, and between president administration. And for example, our deputies in the Johor Kukinesh, they all the time try to support our initiatives, especially one of the examples. For example, in this week on Monday and Tuesday was 2 committees. First committee about international relationships, migration, and the second committee about transport. And there, our draft of law was duration for 1 or 4 4 weeks, and this is for us very good because we need a time. And this is deputies from two committees, profile committees in the Johor Kukinesh. They try to support our activities, and they saw all the destruction conceptions on their draft of law about mass media and NGO sector. And they try to demonstrate all their support. This is the rule of law, and they try to save our democratic resources. I think so.
Okay, thank you. We got to move on to the media law, but before we do, Sianat on Twitter the other day when all these raids started, you said they hadn't seen anything like this in Kyrgyzstan, and I have to admit, I've been covering Kyrgyzstan for almost 30 years. And I don't ever remember anything like this happening. Is the situation deteriorating that fast in Kyrgyzstan where they can raid multiple media outlets all of a sudden and start locking people up?
Yeah, that was my feeling as well. Unless my kind of personal associations in terms of what was the time period during which we may have seen something like that is, and it's probably during Bakiyev's times, you know. So that's like, what, 14 years ago, even more, 14, 15, 16, or something like that. But even then, it wasn't such a massive attack and crackdown, because this is literally a crackdown. I think another important point to note here and to remember is that President Sadr Japarov, during his presidential campaign back in 2020, right? Early 2020, or was it? When was it? Yeah, I forget. But it feels like it was January 2020 or something like that. Yeah,
2021.
Yeah, and he was kind of just, not January, 2021, right? But yeah.
Yes.
But I just remember that he was like, freedom of speech and freedom of media, freedom of expression were a really big thing for him in his campaign. And he mentioned it not just once, but several times in different interviews where he would say that no, under no circumstances would freedom of speech be curtailed in Kyrgyzstan. I guarantee this, everybody will be able to continue speaking freely. And we are just seeing how exactly the opposite is happening of what he promised. And again, Tatu is saying the complete, you know, the right things, correct things, right? It is a super presidential system. And that was the main thing that they were, you know, really promoting and pushing forward when the constitution was reformed and changed. The whole idea is that there's going to be just this one person who is responsible for everything, and this one person is going to be the president. Well, then I guess following that logic, we have to say that, Mr. President, are you seeing what's happening? Do you remember your own promises? And what is going to happen with your promises? And how does it, you know, how do you even read the situation right now? Because it doesn't look good.
Well, thank you. I have to ask about war propaganda. I'm sorry, just because that's an interesting charge. Cactus had this file. They were charged with war propaganda, but for a very different conflict. In their case, it was the Kyrgyz-Tajik border clashes.
Yeah.
But now 24.kg is also apparently being charged with war propaganda, which is a very strange and vague term. I'd like to get your opinion on war propaganda, but also in light of the fact that this appears to have to do with Russia's full-scale war in Ukraine. And in fact, Roskomnadzor has blocked 24kg last summer, I think, too. So can you talk about the charge of war propaganda? And do you see that Russia is pressuring Kyrgyzstan, or that the Kyrgyz authorities are using Russia's blocking of 24kg to go after 24kg themselves?
I mean, all things could be true, I guess, right? One thing does not mean that the other thing is not true. So it could be that that Russia is pressuring Kyrgyzstan, or maybe not so much even pressuring, because I guess Kyrgyzstan is not such a big sort of a even player, to be honest, in that sense, but more like, you know, the pressure is more indirect in that sense, as in Kyrgyzstan maybe, or like the regime or the people in charge feel like they should behave in a certain way, or maybe that they should show certain kind of indicators to really signal that they are on Russia's right side in this specific case, while also trying not to to be too obvious, because I guess the regime also is smart enough not to do this, you know, all out, all in Russia type of thing, even though sometimes it feels like that's exactly what they're doing. But they're still trying to keep all the options available on the table with the West and with the others. And I mean, we are definitely in this area of assumptions, right? And just sort of thinking, because there is no really way of confirming one or the other. But that's just how it looks like from the outside and how it can be read by different people. So there is definitely an aspect of that, of sort of like trying to prove themselves, because definitely there is also the Roskomnadzor's decision. But then also 24KG is not the favorite of either of the people in charge of Kyrgyzstan right now. And I understand how weird that sounds, that I'm talking about two people, but that's what is happening in practice. We have one president, but then we also have another person who seems to be, you know, calling the shots in quite a lot of cases. And especially, let's say, in the case of 24KG, because it is an operation by Gekenbe. And what I mean by this is that 24KG is has also been positioning itself from the very beginning as a oppositional media outlet, or independent, but with sort of critical to the government kind of stance. And that's something that not, the regime is obviously not going to like. So if they have a chance to close them down, or kind of scare them into being less outspoken, they probably will do this. But war propaganda, that's just, it's not new, like you mentioned. It's been used last year against Cactus Media. But there, you could say that, nothing can be a justification, but at least there was some kind of a logic, right? Because it had to do with the conflict between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. And there was a republication of a Tajik source, Asia Plus, I think, which was claiming that Kyrgyzstan was at fault, you know, all of these things. So there was something that the authorities might have felt like we need to defend. Whereas in this case, it's just absurd. What kind of war propaganda? Kyrgyzstan is not directly involved in this war specifically. It's so many questions, very, very few answers.
Okay, thank you. And a reminder, we're talking about the crackdown on independent media in Kyrgyzstan. And my guests are Sianat Sultanaliyeva, the Central Asia researcher for Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan at Human Rights Watch, and Tatu Bubu Ergashbayeva, director of Tandem Lawyers Community in Kyrgyzstan. Let's move on to the draft media law that they have. Strangely, this was reintroduced to Parliament, and they were supposed to start talking about this earlier this week, but I noticed that they postponed discussion about the same time that they were raiding journalists. To give our audience an idea of what it contains, Tatu, and I know you already talked about this a little bit, but what is going to change what is in this draft bill on media that will change the way that people are able to report? You mentioned registration. Can you what else is in there
about the draft of law of mass media?
Yes.
Oh yeah. For example, here, problematic aspects include potential discrimination against NGOs and ignoring suggestions from lawyers, international experts, and NGOs. This is, very multiply, for example, legislative about NGO and mass media, because all independent mass media organizations, they register how NGO status. And this is one of the reason why we protect. This is not only one legislative. We try to protect packagely, how one package. And for example, new provisions, strange control our NGOs, introducing a division into social and political organization with different rights and responsibilities. This is second and very bad offers. from the president administrations, and new restriction of funding for NGO, especially those dealing with social issues, have been introduced. And for example, issues, problems in the draft media laws. The draft law included excessive and unjustified restrictions on the activities of journalists, including accreditation, requirement to visit state bodies, thus limit citizen rights for freedom of speech and access to information. The bill grants state authorities the power to deny state registration of media or terminate their activities without serious legal grounds, potentially limiting freedom of speech and access to information. And, for example, process of the registration. Now, I want to find my list. For example, media registration process under the draft law. The draft law provides for the annulment of media registration certificates for another reason, such as obtained registration by deceitful means. This gives state authorities arbitrary freedom to suspend or terminate media activities for any laws violation, ever minor ones. This analysis highlights serious concern about media freedom and access to information under the proposed legislation. If, for example, Parliament supports and three steps, this is a draft of law, and after the President sign this draft of law, will be, you know, very bad situation for media sector, because all the independent media organizations, they will close. They will close, and Ministry of Justice and the second time another government structures, they will register organizations at the new time. And that will be very big problems for not only journalists and for another NGOs, another public figures, public politics too. And completely our country, after close our independent mass media, situation in our country will be similarly than Uzbekistan or Turkmenistan. And Uzbekistan maybe will more progressive than situation in Kyrgyzstan. But, you know, I think this situation not will be, and we will work with this. And I believe civic engagement and more activities, civic activities, will help, and we close these items, how draft law. This is items not will be how law, how legislative. I think so. And in the end time, what I want to tell for our listeners, really, I apologize for my English. I honestly tried, and I did my best to support the platform. This is Majlis podcast by the respecting you, Ms. Bruce. And we live in the difficult, turbulent times. It's important for us to remain optimistic, to protect democratic achievements, human rights. I believe in the future of Kyrgyzstan, future of the Central Asia. I will continue my job, how lawyer, how civic activist, and I try to grow. Not only I am with my colleagues, we try to grow think tank institution and develop advocacy instruments in the Kyrgyz Republic and in our Central Asia area. And I believe our activities will help now and in the future protect our democratic and democratic area, support rule of law in our country and in our region. Thank you.
No, thank you, Tatu, and I certainly wish you luck when working with the government to keep democracy in Kyrgyzstan. And don't worry about your English; it's much far better than my Kyrgyz, that's for sure. Far better than my Russian, for that fact. I don't want to lose track of the topic of this media law. Now, I'm curious, Sianat, I mean, I've seen all kinds of things about what will change on this, but let's start with the registration that Tatu was talking about too. Who decides who gets registered? I mean, if this law passes, everybody has to re-register. Whose decision is it about which outlets are going to be allowed to continue working?
That's an interesting part. I guess this will be, I'm not sure, maybe Tatu can correct me if I'm wrong, but I guess it's the Minister of Justice that will be responsible for the registration, because all the registrations of NGOs and others, right? Tatu, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, это налоговая и прокуратура, Зинат. Налоговая и прокуратура.
So it's going to be the tax services and the prosecutors.
И Минюст тоже.
And the Minister of Justice, so the three. That's also weirdly unnecessary that there will be three different state bodies that will somehow have to cooperate to register the media entities as well as the NGO entities, I'm guessing. But that's a different draft law. So that's there's already there. Definitely there is space for corruption and bribery, because, you know, the bureaucracy is just going to be unimaginably just bureaucratic. Bureaucracy is going to bureaucracy. Yes, that's one thing. And then exactly, even then, when we know which are the entities, the governmental entities that will be tasked with registering the mass media, I'm guessing that the final decision, especially concerning media outlets that are, you know, the most critical or most annoying to the government and to the regime, and to certain people in the regime, we don't know how the decision is actually going to be made in those cases.
Okay, well, I want to ask you another question, Sianat. Mm-hmm. I've read that the websites, they're really going after websites under this new media law. So apparently it was this very strange wording about that anyone who posts something on the internet, on their site, that's supposed to be information to be disseminated to the public, has to register. And people were saying that would mean that if you were a restaurant and you were advertising your stuff, or a car dealership or something, that you would also have to register.
Yeah.
At that point, because you were posting information that was supposed to be disseminated to the public. Is that your understanding of this also?
Yes, exactly. Because the way it's read, I think it's actually, I happen to conveniently have an analysis of this draft law right now. And so, for example, the Article 9 of this draft law, which talks about this stuff, right? It says the mass media encompass periodical printed publications. So, okay, we get it. Television, radio, broadcast, makes sense. But then it says websites on the internet telecommunications network and other electronic media. It doesn't clarify anything beyond that. So literally, it could be any kind of a website, anything that has an address, an internet address that can be reached by, you know, typing www.whatever.kg.org, whatever. And considering that they're also mentioning other electronic media, I'm guessing that includes all kinds of apps. I don't know, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, anything where you can post an information and it can be read by at least one other person apart from you, will probably consider it a website or that kind of information, and thus everybody has to be registered. I understand this sounds extremely absurd, and it has been brought to the attention of the working group and especially the initiators, but it's weird that already from each iteration of the draft law, I've honestly lost track of it. I think it's the sixth iteration that we're dealing with right now in January 2024. But they still haven't done anything with it. It's still in the same formulation, or like the same phrasing.
Is it fair to say that this is aimed at bloggers and people broadcasting on YouTube?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely including them. It's just absurd that it would also include like a restaurant website, or like you were saying, like a car service website or something like that.
But it's in the end, it's kind of arbitrary, right? I mean, it does include car dealerships or restaurants or anything like that, but it's really who the government
exactly
wants, right?
Yeah.
We'll wrap this up, but I want to ask you a question. In your opinion, if this draft law is adopted There's certainly every reason to believe that it will be, and possibly very quickly. What does that mean for any critical independent media outlet in Kyrgyzstan right now?
Well, it's just that the situation with freedom of expression in Kyrgyzstan, if the draft law passes, will just further sort of deteriorate and just get worse and worse, because the draft law already is just very, it's overly broad and it's vague. It's, and as such, it's, it just creates so many opportunities for abuse, of the draft, of the law, right? Of the laws that are already existing and the, sort of aspects that are included in this draft law currently. So it is a repressive draft law, and it will be a repressive law. Should it pass, because it will, you know, expand governmental control over the media exactly through the, you know, the requirement for registration, regardless of whether you are an actual media outlet, if you are doing citizen journalism or blogging, or if you're just a website, a car dealership website, doesn't really matter. And by the same token, it sort of gives the authorities the right to deny registration to media outlets that they don't like, that are annoying to them, to close down their work, for example, right? If the authorities decide that their work is not according to what they have submitted as their scope of work, because that's another sort of insidious sort of part or aspect or angle of this draft law, is that all of the media outlets, so including, again, websites, absurdly, that will have to go through registration, they also have to submit very extremely detailed information as to the scope of their reporting, the lengths of their publications, the periodicity, whatever the word is. So, you know, however frequent the publications are going to be there, and that kind of stuff, right? Which is in many cases, okay, so if you're an established media outlet, I guess you are able to say how often your programming is going to be and sort of roughly what kind of topics you're covering. But if you're a blogger, if you're a citizen journalist, and if you're somebody else, right, who's just trying out or who's just posting their opinions, you cannot really think of, you know, ahead of time of what you're going to be publishing or what you're going to be talking about in your posts, in your journalism, private journalism, right? And so that already gives an sort of the right to the authorities to close you down, because that means that you did not submit this as your potential scope of reporting or scope of work. And there are so many other sort of elements in this draft law that are really repressive, that will just, you know, expand again, like I mentioned, the governmental control. It's just, it's going to have an extremely negative effect on the media landscape in Kyrgyzstan, which is already not the best, as we are seeing, you know, by the most recent crackdown. And it's just going to make it even worse.
Okay, thank you. We are at the end, but I want to get last comment from both of you, brief if possible. Same thing, the Torgah, the Speaker of Parliament, said that there's no problem with freedom of speech, that it's protected in Kyrgyzstan. We've heard President Japarov make the same claim, that freedom of speech is protected and nothing will happen to it. Tatu, what's your opinion? If this law goes through, will freedom of speech be protected?
You know, I want to tell about our Kyrgyz Republic and our international relationships. And the first time the Kyrgyz Republic is a democratic state governed by the rule of law and is so a member of numerous international associations and organizations. Conclusions of the General Prosecutor's Office and the Supreme Court confirmed the existence of article in criminal and other legislation regulating of the activities of NCOs. The Ombudsman Institute conclude that the norms need to be conceptually improved. This is about all two package draft of laws. A number of international organizations, UN special rapporteurs, European representatives in the Kyrgyz Republic, OSCE, OIDI, HR, this is the HRV, and other gave a negative opinion. And adoptions of such initiatives by the parliament entails risk in the interaction with international partners and in the terms of signing the most important strategic documents of the Kyrgyz Republic on the following issues. This is very important documents start in this year before 2027. We need this agreement with Kyrgyz Republic. First, on October 11, at the 7th meeting of the 77th sessions of the UN General Assembly, the Kyrgyz Republic was elected as a member of the UN Human Rights Council for period 2023-2025. This is the third time Kyrgyzstan has been elected to the UN Human Rights Council for a 3-year term. Kyrgyzstan will have to report to the UN General Assembly, and the future election to the UN is expected risks because our report maybe didn't support in the future, will not support in the future. Second, Kyrgyzstan has nominated its candidacy for non-permanent membership in the UN Security Council for 2027 before 2028. This was announced by the country's President Sadır Japarov at the general debate of the 78th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, USA. The decision will be made in accordance with the procedures of the UN Security Council. Third, Kyrgyzstan is expected to sign an agreement with European Union in 2024. This is a framework in depth and bilateral agreement between the European Union and Kyrgyzstan. Central Asia countries, including Kyrgyzstan, have been priorities by the UN, by the European countries in the recent years. This is a long-term agreement which is designed for many years of cooperation, which will spell out the conditions, compliance with will allow the agreement to be extended. The agreement includes political relationships between the two sides, trade, investment, and human rights. And the last, fourth, Kyrgyzstan and the United States are at the stage of signing a new bilateral agreement. Negotiations have been underway since summer 2022. This agreement included multi-vector cooperation as well as United States assistance. And, you know, we very need this agreement, especially with European Union countries and United States. Why? Because we programs, for example, from European Union, support, especially in 2 or 3 years, more $25 million. And this is financial support our government and our civic engagement sector we use for our social, for develop our social and another infrastructures, for example, economical infrastructures, and our government need this financial, education, and technical and another support. And we know more our neighbors, they are in the, is not democratical regime, maybe authoritarian regime, and they didn't help us by simple way. They give for us credits and other items. And I think we need, this is for very priority for Kyrgyz Republic international agreement. And this is one of the big priorities for president administrations. And I think this is one of the good offers for our decision makers, because if they don't support social activities, if they don't support draft of law about mass media and NGO, if they don't have with us ideologies and someone good platforms, for them will be not more priorities to grow their very good, very positive statement in the international area. And my activities, all the time when I consult decision makers, I told them about this is for agreements, because our country need these agreements, and we must to be in the international area. How good, optimistic country, and especially democratic country who respect human rights. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's a good point that they have these agreements. So maybe that'll help pressure them a little bit. So, you know, last word to you. And if you can keep it brief, what is freedom of speech in Kyrgyzstan? Is it still there if this draft law on media is adopted?
Well, I think knowing this is Kyrgyzstan, it's safe to say that we still will have a certain level of freedom of speech, even with the draft law passing, should it pass. And I'm sure there will be ways that the media and our journalists and bloggers will find ways of, still speaking the truth or reporting brilliant investigative pieces one or another way. For example, like with Klop KG, while they're still, banned and blocked, they have mirror websites that you are able to, reach to and still read their reporting, right? And I guess if the situation really, really gets bad, then what we could have, what we might be dealing with in Kyrgyzstan is that people, journalists might have to relocate out of Kyrgyzstan, but still continue working. I believe that, our media is just not going to be shut up or shut down in Kyrgyzstan, no matter what the authorities try to do. Yes, it will be more difficult, but there will still be freedom of expression. People are not going to let it go that easily. Well, at least I hope so.
Okay, great. That's an optimistic note to leave this conversation on. So thank you, Tatu Wuwu, and thank you, Sianat, for being on the program. And a big thank you, as always, to Nathan Shoemaker, our Medjlis podcast producer in Washington, D.C. And a reminder, you can subscribe to the Medjlis podcast or the Central Asia in Focus newsletter by visiting Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's website at rferl.org. Thank you very much, and we'll be back again soon. Bye-bye.